The following episode of The Drop-In is brought to you by Spoke, a new free listening app from SiriusXM.
The following is an at-will presentation.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is The Drop-In with Will Melnati.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to The Drop-In. This is your host, Will Melnati. Every week, as you know, I give you a few different things that annoy me. Well, this week we're pressed for time, so I'm going to give you everything that annoys me from this past week in a list, and I only have 1 minute. Put a minute on the clock, and let's go. All white shoes. They're white for what? 4 seconds? Con Ed bills. My Con Ed bill this month was $400. And I'm not kidding. I turn the lights off when I leave, too. Something fishy is going on at Con Ed. I'm going to give him a call at some point this year. Group urinals. I was at a bar this past weekend that had a wash basin as a urinal, like literally a pig feeder. So everyone's just peeing everywhere. It was awkward. Salads. Here, want to eat a million pieces of something that already has no texture and no flavor? Eat a salad. Airport meals. You ever finish a meal at an airport restaurant and say to yourself, wow, that was healthy? I was in an airport the other day. I had a dish that consisted of bananas, bacon, and melted peanut butter. It was an entree, too. Like a stoner was in the back mixing up the recipes. Men's dress shirts. When you get done pulling out the 127 pins and needles, you're left with the most wrinkled, ridiculous-looking shirt ever, not to mention bloody fingers. Want to know what's not annoying? Today's guest. You know him from the cult TV show Workaholics, and I'm dying up here on Showtime. You may have even seen his stand-up comedy special on Showtime. It came out a few weeks ago called The Ugly Truth. If you haven't seen it, go check it out now. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Eric Griffin.
Well, my name is Eric Griffin, so I get E-R-I-C, E-R-I-C-K, then I'll get Griffin, Griffith, Griffin, E-N-I-N-T-H, you know.
So your life's been tough.
Yeah.
Is what you're saying.
Yeah. First world problem.
But E-R-I-K.
Are we going?
Oh. Yeah, we'll just kind of smooth our way into it. But E-R-I-K is still not that common, right? Or is it?
Yes, it is.
Do you have like a secret handshake with people?
No, if you're like Viking or if you're like
okay, and you
Dutch, you know, that's where I came from. My mom always says she was watching some Viking movie when she was pregnant with me, and she knew then, oh, I'm going to name him Eric and I'm going to spell it with a K.
Really?
Yeah.
Do you know what Viking movie?
I don't know.
Because you should see
it. Was
it.
So long ago, man.
I know, but if you could get her to recall it, that'd be like you should.
I know,
that'd
be like I was named
something.
Yeah, yeah. I take a picture of it. I was named after this particular
this
Viking.
The person.
Or so, the actor. It's probably like, but back knowing her, it's probably somebody like, you know, Charlton Heston. Or
yeah, right.
It's probably like, you know, somebody that shouldn't be a Viking.
Yeah, right. That would be cool too, though.
Yeah.
Legacy.
Just to have the story.
Where are you from?
I'm from L.A.
From L.A.? Born and raised?
Born and raised in
where?
L.A. Like Mid-Wilshire area.
Okay. By the way, we have beers and stuff, apparently. Even though it's set up like this, where there's beers.
No, I'm, I don't drink.
You don't drink?
No.
Never?
Never.
You never have?
No, not really. No. I mean, like in high school, I had half a beer at a party.
And then that was it.
You know, then I went on vacation a couple years ago, and the friends I was with, they were like, you have to try.
Alcoholic friends.
Yeah. So, yeah, exactly. Right. So, like, on the plane, I had a little champagne. I was like, this tastes all right.
Next thing you know, you're driving the thing.
Yeah, I know. I'm like, woo! No, it was just, I didn't like it. You know, I had like this, I had this one drink in the bar at the hotel. It was like a beach. It was a beach thing, so it was like
rum, Malibu.
They had like, yeah, they had like the drink of the day, and I was like, I had like 15% of it, and I thought I was like, that's it.
Your shirt was off.
Yeah, man. I was like, crazy. Nope, I didn't like that feeling.
Really?
Yeah, I didn't like it.
So it's about the feeling. It's about the. But do you ever smoke the weed?
No, I don't smoke weed or I don't do drugs.
So nothing.
Or fat. No.
That's good on you.
Well, I mean, whatever. It's like not trying Indian food. You know, you don't praise somebody for that.
Yeah, I guess so. It's a little bit different, I feel like, because in today's world, there's just, that's so much a part of the social
that's
life.
Where you hang out. So
maybe, you're right.
Yeah, so you're saying like, oh my God, you can't even imagine there not being alcohol.
Right. That's true.
No, but for me, I don't even think about it.
Yeah, you just hang at the Indian food place.
Yeah, or just like the Ethiopian food or something, you know, as... disgusting, you know what I mean?
I thought that's where you were going with it. I just wasn't sure. All right, is that your favorite food?
I don't have a favorite food. I like savory foods, you know, but if I had to, I love sushi.
Okay.
But you can't have sushi every day, you know, well, you shouldn't.
I feel like when I have 5 pieces of sushi, I can't even eat the 6. It's like too much.
Oh, really?
Sometimes. Yeah, yeah. Sometimes.
It depends. Yeah, but you're like 106 pounds. You're a skinny guy.
Well, I'm wearing all black, so that actually
slimming.
Makes, yeah, it really takes off about 40 pounds.
No, but I like
40 pounds.
I like Thai food. Okay. Like I said, Thai, but then I also like Italian. You know, sometimes you feel like some pasta. I like a good steakhouse.
Yeah.
They always had the best side dishes at a steakhouse.
Oh my God! Sometimes I'll go to the steakhouse and just order every side.
Yeah, it's great. I love
broccolini,
all that too.
Mashed potatoes,
whatever corn. It has some special corn. It'll
always
be firecracker corn.
By
or
the way, and
chili
all like
lime corn. Yeah, yeah, of course.
Each of the sides.
But you know, the thing about going to a good steakhouse is, you know, even though it's like really expensive, they're not giving you a lot of food.
Right.
That's why it's so expensive. It's the only way they can make money.
Right.
They have to like prepare small dishes, charge you a lot for it, as opposed to like you go to like some slop house where they have to like, they're pumping out so much food. They're making all this food. They got to make sure they get rid of it.
Yeah, that's true.
Yes. Yeah, so isn't it weird that
you thought about it though?
Yeah. Because you realize the more money you spend, the less food you get.
That's actually very true. If you think about all the 4 and 5 star places.
Yeah, especially even with calories. The less the calories are at like a fancy place,
right,
the more expensive.
Of course. It's weird. It has to be. It's all part of it.
Yeah, it's so weird.
But there's some really high level places now with the fancy chefs and everything
where
it's like they bring out something, take the top off, and you just get to smell it. You don't even eat anything. You just smell it.
With a diet water over a mint leaf.
That's right. And then they bring the bill.
I'll even go get vegan food, you know?
Oh, really?
Yeah, I'll even like just to I'm in the mood for that tonight, that kind of thing.
I've never said that about
vegan food.
You
should try. There's a restaurant here in LA. Actually, it's real close to here, too. It's called
Deep Fried Broccoli or something?
No, it's called Crossroads.
That's what I would be at if I went to one of those places.
the chef is like magical because he.
Really?
I think the secret ingredient is pork. He's just like, it's going to come out in like 2 years. Right. It's going to be a scandal.
He's behind the
I would
the
love that. I would love like, because all those asshole vegans would just be, you know, who are always like, I eat vegan. I would love for it to be like, they've been eating pork for 3 years.
Oh, there'd be a serious uproar.
It would be a nightmare.
Someone would blow the place up probably.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They just would, you know, it's like some fake religion. It's like vegan, Scientology.
Yeah, they're right in the same
place. They're in the same.
I agree. They're in the same ballpark there.
Yeah.
I'm a huge fan.
Oh, I appreciate it.
So when your name came up, I was excited because I love Workaholics. And now my new show is I'm Dying Up Here. Talk to me about...
Dying Up Here. It's you know, loosely based off the book. It's more about Jim Carrey's own stories. You know, we put this, it's a great cast. It's a great group of people, you know, it's based in the 70s. I love the hair. I love the look. You know, I'm proud of the work that we did. We're just trying to still find an audience. You know, we want people out there, you know, check in on it. You know, it's like the critics, it's like such a mixed bag, you know, like everybody, some people love it. Some people hate it. Some people are like, we don't want this genre. We don't want, you know, but you have to just find it yourself. Mm-hmm. Find it. I really think you're going to enjoy it. It's like one of those shows you have to, you really... Especially now that there's already been 3, let 4 or 5 build up and then binge watch it. And I think you'll really enjoy it.
Yeah. I mean, that's what I've heard about the show as well. It's like, look, guys, the first couple episodes,
you got to learn things. You got to learn the world, who all these characters are. It's such a big cast. It's like Melissa Leo, Ari Grainer, Michael Agriano, Clark Duke, Andrew Santino, Al Madrigal, John Daly, Stephen Guarino, RJ Seiler, myself.
You should have started with yourself.
I know. It's
such
me.
A big cat. It's me. Who
I
else?
I set myself
who
in the
else?
Middle.
Who else?
And Melissa Leo.
Me and Melissa Leo. That's all you need. I'm watching it.
Yeah. So it's like, there's a lot of, it's a big cast, and they service everyone, which is great.
Yeah. Which, by the way, you don't see all the time in an ensemble like that.
Yeah, you're like, hey, where's that one guy that
yeah,
we
right.
saw
he had
in
that
episode?
One line.
Yeah, yeah. No, we got, it's good. It's good. It's a good it's a good group of people. Like I say, I'm proud of it.
Yeah, and you should be.
Yeah.
I think
it's
great.
Yeah, well, I'm glad you say that.
But the real question is, are you proud of Workaholics?
Workaholics is what it is. What I loved about Workaholics is it was like that was people's favorite show.
Mm-hmm.
Like Die For. You know?
Totally.
I always know when I meet them, you know, they see me. They're just like, oh, my God, what is this?
It's always the same demographic,
too,
isn't
it? They go crazy, and I love that. So, I mean, that was like something that was really special. To be a part of something like that.
And so, how did it come about?
I just went on an audition. That's all.
Yeah.
There was no other story than that.
I mean, but it was already going.
No.
It was the beginning.
Yeah, from the very beginning.
Yeah, the very beginning. Like before it was even picked up as a...
Yeah. Just before they filmed the pilot and everything. They had their pilot.
Sure.
And then they were like starting to film the season. Uh-huh. And then that's when I jumped on.
Yeah.
You know, so it was like, you know, I went to an audition and I had to audition a few times. I didn't know what they wanted. You know, they had all different types of looks and feels for this character. And I just gave
You're supposed to be a short white guy?
They had all kinds of... They had so many different types and ages and things. And then I just... You know, I made it through.
Yeah, I mean, if you guys aren't seeing him right now, but you're, what are you, 6'3"?
I'm 6'3".
6'3"?
Yeah. I'm a big boy right now.
You're big right now. We'll see about, as you start aging, you start going down.
Yeah, it starts, yeah. I think, I might even be 6'2 and a half now.
Right now, yeah. The thing I found out about, I'm dying up here, is that Jim Carrey just happened to be at one of your shows.
Yeah. He just was like at their Comedy Store one night. But I didn't know that it was him and the whole...
Even better.
It was like the writers and the executive producers. Yeah. They were all in the audience. And I didn't know that they were there scouting comics. Yeah. You know, the manager comes over like, hey, Jim Carrey's here. Yeah, he's like, Jim Carrey's here. And I was like, at first I got mad because I was like, was he bumping me? Like, what's he doing here? You know, I thought he was, you know, I had this whole thing in my head of like, what the hell is Jim Carrey? What's he good? He's got $100 million. What the hell is, you know, I was so mad about it. And then he was like, well, I don't think so. Like, you know, and
relax,
I was like,
well,
then, and then that's when I was like in my mind, like, then what the hell are you telling me for? I don't care. You know, and I just went up, did my set. I'm glad it happened like that.
By the way, you wouldn't have wanted to know that they were scouting.
Yeah, by the way, they're scouting comics, and this could be the breakthrough of your life. I'd be like, knock, knock, you know.
yeah. You revert to some bad stuff.
I know. I'd be like, knock, knock, who's there? Jim Carrey. Oh, my God, why did I say that? It would have been like a nightmare.
I mean, but that's the best, though, I feel like.
Yeah.
How else would you have wanted to do
it? The next day I had an audition, and I was on the show 3 weeks later.
And is that normal of them telling you, hey, this person's in the crowd?
Well, yeah. Well, somebody like of that stature, you know,
they
would tell people. Yeah.
Why?
No, because the manager was telling me because he knew why they were here.
Right. And he thought maybe you did or he didn't want to tell you.
Yeah. No, I didn't even give him the opportunity because I was about to go up.
Got it. Hey, Jim Carrey. Hey, everybody. How's it going?
Yeah, it was something not like that, but similar. Like, it was like, I'm about to go up. You know, they're the guy's finishing up on stage, about to bring me up. And he's like, oh, by the way, Jim Carrey's here. And I'm like, what the hell is he doing here? God damn it. You know what I mean? It was so stupid, right?
But I'm about to go up.
Yeah. It's like, what does that even mean? What, he's bumping? That's why I thought, because that's how it happens.
It's amazing.
Like, you'll be sitting there, and you think you're going to go up, and somebody comes over. It's like, hey,
Dave Chappelle's here.
You're like, oh, man. You know, so I thought it was one of those moments. Because that happens a lot there. As many times as I told that story, I've never told that part of it. You know, so you got something original and fresh
right there.
My guest today is a professional stand-up comedian, so it makes sense to tell you the rest of the story about when I took a class to learn how to become one. If you didn't hear the first part, go back to season 3, episode 2 with my guest, Ari Grainer. Previously on The Drop-In. Ladies and gentlemen, this is a new segment called Do It. Every month, I'm going to try something that I've never done before. So I found a few places in New York that offered stand-up comedy classes. This is, for the record, this is making me so nervous right now, just talking about it. I need to really visualize.
Why is that funny?
I don't know. I thought it was funny when I was writing because it was...
As they say in the comedy world, I bombed. And now for part two.
The material is funny. I think you just need to, and that's part of what you're going to do tonight, is just start to work it out. But that's what they all say, man. Even Chris Rock bombs.
One of the things I learned about myself as I was working on writing jokes is that it's really hard not to get defensive when your jokes suck.
There's a guy standing right there, like a security guard of the bathroom. What?
I'm sorry, this is the funniest since we're going to need to follow this.
Get the f*** out of here. I'm going to ask Billy to come in here.
Oh my God, this is so funny. You're not saying anything funny, but this is...
Or become emotional and overreactive when they just aren't working. It's vulnerable as hell trying to make someone laugh. And poor Mitch was in the studio with me for hours trying to iron these babies out to make them more succinct and to the point.
So one of the things that I think I need to work on is being in front of people and writing jokes and... understanding the structure rather than just kind of winging it.
Yeah. I think it's probably one of those things that looks a lot easier than it actually is.
100%.
I went to the Comedy Cellar last week and just watched some people do okay. You know? Some were great, some were bad. So I basically jotted down the notes of things that I didn't like. Or the things that I wanted to stay away from. Or the things that I felt like didn't work. I'm sure they knew they didn't work either because the place was silent.
So Mitch and I worked on a couple jokes for my next class. One was a take on something I had spoken about before on this show, about how people from America visit different countries and come back speaking like the natives of those countries. And somehow they feel like because they visited there, they're like automatically entitled to speak like the natives of those countries when they come back to the U.S. We started out in Ibiza. And we worked our way over to Barcelona.
I think then, like, the counterexample then you do then is like, hey, but I went to Brooklyn last week and I f***ing ordered a bagel. Like, you don't, you know.
Yeah,
like,
right.
Like,
you don't hear that.
I went to Brooklyn.
With Mitch's help, I was starting to get the hang of it. And if nothing else, I was starting to make him laugh, which was one person more than I had ever made laugh during my study of comedy.
What is she asking me?
That's hysterical.
Like, is she asking?
Soon it was time for my next class.
So far, this is a pretty good class. I see low-level neurotic disturbance among all of you. It's very encouraging. It's very encouraging. Because you get a lot of people who are like, but it didn't happen that way. Does it say the Truth Club? No, it's a comedy club. You're not under oath up there. You can exaggerate.
Hello again.
My name is Will.
Will, everybody, Will.
I was getting better. I
suddenly feel like they're entitled to speak like the natives of that place they were. You know?
I was more confident.
That's a good bit.
Thanks.
That's a good bit.
And after a few more weeks of fine-tuning.
Setting the scene, these details.
Yeah.
Now we have to add up to a laugh line a little sooner.
I agree.
This is the second round of it that I've heard you say, and even then it gets better. You know
right,
what I mean?
Right.
It's working the joke out and figuring out what words work.
It was time for my first real performance at the Comedy Cellar. Remember, we got two performances because as my teacher said, the first time you go up, it's going to feel like you're being shot out of a cannon. I was nervous as hell.
Thank you. Hey, feels good to be here. Right.
I went way longer than I was supposed to because I was nervous and I didn't stick to the script.
Anyone,
I forgot things.
What's my next joke here? Anyone something? Anyone been to the doctor lately?
I got shot out of a cannon, all right. We had another class and went over the video from the first performance. Took notes. You ever watch yourself on camera? It's a painful experience. But I tightened it up and I was ready for the next one. I was more confident. My jokes were more concise. So I went up there and gave it hell.
Put your hands, you're welcome. Well, my money, everybody.
You know those people who go abroad and then they come back and they feel like they can like speak like the natives of those countries they went to, like it's no big deal? Hey man, where'd you go? Oh, I went to Ibiza. Then I went to Barcelona for some tapas. Then I went to Paris for croissant. Then to Berlin for strudel. You don't have people from Spain coming back from a trip to New York going, we went to New York. We went to fucking Coney Island, grabbed a fucking hot dog and a coffee.
And then, after weeks of embarrassment, stress, annoyance, education, and hard work, I heard the best sound the comedians ever hear.
It was beautiful.
Laughter. It was a journey with lots of ups and downs, but in the end, a room full of laughter made all the time spent on this worthwhile. They say that doing stand-up is people's greatest fear apart from death, and well, I didn't die. Next time on Do It, I try something I haven't done in 20 years. Run a race competitively. That's right, run, like with my legs. In this one, I actually almost died.
I might die. This might be the last audio you ever hear from me.
And now, back to our show. So what were you doing before you...
Oh, God.
I want to know the exact job.
No, you don't.
I really do.
Yeah, I was like, no, I had a whole different life plan. I thought I was going to be in education and, you know, just...
Were you teaching at that
point? Yeah, I was like, I was actually going to school to finish up some things, but I was working at a school. I was doing like the everyman stuff at the school. I was like working in the library, working in the office, coaching basketball. And it's just like, I don't know. You just sometimes you go, is this... You have to learn the difference between a job and a career, you know, what really makes you happy. Mm-hmm. And like, you don't also want to, you'd also, if somebody thinks you have a talent or you have a gift for something, you have to try to see if you can make that your living, make that your career. And I didn't want to like wake up one day and be like, how come I didn't try that? You know, because I wanted to be safe or I wanted to be like, no. So I took the plunge.
So who was that person that said, hey, you should really try this?
It was me. Because just from, you know, having everybody tell me all the time, you're so funny, that kind of stuff, you know? And I had tried, I went to a comedy class when I was super young.
Yeah.
And, you know, then I didn't know what to do. And then I didn't know what, in LA, you know, you go, you don't even know. There's no mentors. Nobody's telling you, how do you go from nothing to like getting on stage with these people? There's no book for it. So I just like, you know, it just became a pipe dream. You know, that's why I always say, like, you have to know you can make it. And it's a rhetorical question. It's not something like if somebody says, do you think you can make it at this? You don't answer that, you know, because it's something you have to just feel. And if you don't feel that, if you don't have that in you, then you're already starting from behind. Because when you start thinking about like how hard it is to make it in whatever, then you're not going to be giving it your all. You're mm-hmm. not going to be focused in like you need to be. And I just wasn't like that at first. And it wasn't until like later, I was like older, I was 30, and I was like, all right, I mean, this is what I got to do. I got some savings. I know how to be around people. I know how to like, you know, cultivate relationships. And like, it just was different for me. I regret not understanding that when I was younger, mm-hmm. but it is what it is. So that's what I tell young people now. Follow your dreams.
It's so good.
You know, literally, and that sounds so weird to say. You know, it's such a cliche, right? Follow your dreams.
Well, that's the title of this podcast episode.
It should be. People should follow
your dreams with Eric Griffin.
Yeah, because, you know, people have this, there's so much doubt in the world mm-hmm. anyway. You doubt yourself. You have this fear.
Yeah.
There's all this fear. Like, why am I not doing this? And then you become a slave to things you don't need. Material possessions. You have a house note that you don't want, you know? A car payment that's too much. People, like, in LA, people live beyond their means. Mm-hmm. It's like, if you have a Mercedes and you're parking it on the street, you're living beyond your means. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
If you have a Mercedes and you have to move it for street cleaning, you're living beyond your means. Like, get out of here with that. Why do you don't need that? You think that that's the happiness?
Yeah.
No, invest in yourself. Education, whatever it might be, you know, or it's like the band equipment, you know? Invest in yourself.
Mm-hmm.
If you have a business idea, invest in it. Take the chance. You fail, you took that chance.
But I'm assuming it was weird for you to pivot in that way.
It was. No, it for sure was.
And even admitting it to other people, especially at that age.
It was. It was very like, well, this is what you got to do, you know? So, you know, I took some acting classes. I tried to get a commercial agent. I did all the things. I was like, you know, and I was going to the open mics. I just figured it out, you know?
Were you telling people? Were you telling your friends that you were doing it?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, I was like, this is what I'm trying to do. And I'm like, okay. It's like how people feel about it. Oh, good luck, bro.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Let me know when that's over.
Yeah. Hey, even have family like that. That's my mom. Of course. It's like, even my mom at first was like, oh, I don't know if that's, you know, but now she's like really proud of it. But she knows, like, you know, my family's weird. I have an estranged family. Mm-hmm. So every post my mom writes is like, you know, about me. She's like, oh, my son and these assholes said he wouldn't make it. You know, she has to add that to every post, you know? She's talking about her art, my family. You know, she's talking about family members. That's what's
calling
so
them out.
Yeah, yeah. Call, I said, nobody's, they're not on your Facebook. You blocked them. So who's this for?
Yeah. Who's this for? She's like, it's for myself. Self therapy.
Yeah, yeah. My mom's, yeah.
Let her do her. Though,
my
right?
mom's whole Facebook feed is, you know, I should read some of them. They're just hilarious. They're like, you know, she's talking about Trump all the time. This orange molesting asshole. That's every post my mom, and with some article from CNN or some liberal thing that she puts on there so people could see. So she like, you know, every post, it's either that or something about me and how those assholes didn't think I could make it.
And now a word from our sponsors. Guys, have you heard of Spoke? It is a new app that curates playlists for you of podcasts that you like based on the things that you want to hear. These days, there's so many podcasts, it's hard to find exactly what you want to listen to. Spoke makes that easy for you. Go to hearspoke.com/at will and start putting in your preferences. From there, you will be directed to a path that highlights all different types of podcasts surrounding what you like. Not only that, but they have highlights from the drop-in. Go to hearspoke.com/at will, and they have the highlights from each episode, the best portions of the show, and all the other shows from the At Will Network. If you like what you hear, you can join the conversation and leave a voice comment or send it to a friend on social media. That's right, hearspoke.com/at will. Check it out now. You talked about possessions. What do you spend your money on?
Clipper tickets. Yeah, I go to
season
the Clipper.
Tickets.
Season tickets. That's a grip.
I could tell by the Instagram.
Yeah, yeah.
There's a couple posts from the.
Yeah, it's me and Adam from Workaholics. We got, you know.
You got them together?
Yeah, yeah, we got them together. You know, so we got 3 tickets. He got 2, I got 1. Uh-huh. He wanted me to split. I was like, Adam, you're number 1 on the call sheet.
Yeah, right.
Okay.
And plus, you're going to have different girls the time.
Not anymore. He's got a steady girlfriend, Chloe Bridges.
All right.
They're the Hollywood couple. They're very, very cute together.
Hello. So the third wheeling then every time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah,
every
yeah,
time
yeah,
you go
yeah.
to the game.
Every time. Yeah, exactly.
Hi, Holly.
Yeah, I know. I'm like, hey, Chloe, you know. But it's great. We're all friends, you know. So that's what I spend my money on.
That's it. That's the big.
That's the big one.
But that's got to be a big one. How much are Clippers tickets?
I don't even want to talk about it. Because we sit close. We're like on the third row.
So you're spending. Yeah. Investment.
Yes. Like we bought a Prius together.
Hello. This is a real question.
Mm-hmm.
Very serious question. The most serious question I'll ask you this whole time.
Here we go, everybody.
When is the last time that you uttered the phrase, you motherfucker?
Oh, man. When I was outside, the parking guy outside your building right here, giving me the wrong directions to park and like acting like I didn't belong here.
And so then you just kept driving,
and I was
you
like, this
motherfucker.
All right, good. By the way, that's what I love about doing stand-up comedy is that I get to talk about the things that annoy me every night at the same level. I don't have to let anything go.
Right.
It's the beauty of it. I get to go on stage every night and be like, this fucking store. You know what I mean? And then the next night I can be like, let me tell you about this goddamn store. And it's great.
And it helps.
But it helps and it doesn't help. That's where we're a little neurotic. We're a little crazy. Because imagine you go to your wife and be like, just one time. And then the next day, you try to talk about it again, and she's like, "Okay, heard it, let it go." You know what I mean? Then you have another fight, you know. But for me, it's like I get to keep talking about it. That's why. Speaking of, we should talk also about my stand-up special.
Yes,
which comes out July 7th.
Yes,
The Ugly Truth on Showtime, July 7th, 9 o'clock, our special.
Check it out. So when you write. When you have an annoying situation like that and you're like, do you write it right then? Do you
Sometimes I go, so when I did a half hour on Comedy Central and my end bit was about that movie Insidious.
Yeah.
I had just seen the movie and I walked out of the movie and I was like, oh shit. I had a set that night and I went to the club and I went on stage and I was like, I just saw Insidious and I started talking about it. And then by a year later, I had this whole bit about movies and stuff, and then you know that's what became like on my special. So that's just what I do. If something happens and I feel like it's worthy of like, oh, this is like a story that I can keep telling, then I take it right to the stage.
Yeah. And how many times do you think some of your best material, or that you consider your best material, how many times do you think you deliver that joke?
Oh, no, all the time. Where you are.
I mean, but hundreds of times.
Yeah, yeah. But that's part of the craft.
Of course. No, I know.
Yeah, you know, it's like that's part of it. It's like being able to. Like I said, you have to be somebody that doesn't let things go.
Right.
You know, think of that kind of person. You know, it's like, you know, when it's not,
right?
We're not the best people, stand-up comedians. You know, yeah. We don't let things go. We
hold grudges.
We're venting to strangers, and we're negative and like, yeah, it's just a lot of, you know, it's a lot.
So what do you think that you, at the end of your career, if there's ever an end to it, what will you want to look back and say, I killed that. This is something that I'm most proud of.
I would be most proud that I stayed in the business. That's what I'd be most proud of. That I never had to like dip out and like get my rent, my realtor's license.
Hey, a lot of people have to do that.
Yeah. You know, I didn't have to go like, you know, welcome to Eric Griffin used cars. You know what I mean? Or like that kind of, whatever it is.
If I ever see that.
Yeah, you'll know. Call me.
I'll be like, hey.
But
man.
It's like, you know, I just feel like that's what I want to be remembered for. It's like, oh, he did it. He was that guy that was, he was that guy for so long.
Yeah. What was the worst job you ever had?
You mean outside of entertainment?
No, or including.
Oh. Well, this movie I did called, it was, the working title was called Fatties.
P-H or F?
F. Okay, Fatties. Okay. It was about, it was like Revenge of the Nerds, but fat kids.
Okay.
And they changed it to Bringing Down the House. It never got finished. It was like, it was a nightmare.
That house actually got brought down.
It was like,
what you're saying.
It was, that was supposed to be, I don't even want to, we can't even get into it. It was so bad.
Why was it so bad?
It's because the director was crazy. I remember my first day on set, the second AD comes over to me. I'm only doing 2 days, you know, and he comes over to me. He's flustered.
Yeah.
With an attitude, too. And it wasn't like he had an attitude with me.
Yeah.
He just, I could tell. You know when you know somebody's having a bad day, but you still got to talk to them? You got to be like, hey, is everything, you know? He was like, have you met the director? I said, no. He goes, good luck. And he walks away. And sure enough, when I met the guy was just, he was out there. He was giving me these line readings. And I was like, no, dude, I'm not going to do it. I ignored him.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, I see what I need to do.
Yeah.
You know, and I remember the other actors. It was all these young kids. There was these kids, like, you know, like 17 to 20. Like, you know what I mean? They're having the worst time because they're only getting like $100 a day.
Yeah.
It was something weird. And I got a particular amount that I didn't realize. I thought it was a low amount. So I said, yeah, I'm getting, you know, I had a choice. Do this movie or do a Nickelodeon show. And I picked the movie because I was
why
like,
why were those
be
the two choices?
It was because it was a conflict. It was like they were both shooting on the same day.
Okay.
Okay. So I remember saying, yeah.
The lesser of two evils.
They were like, they're saying, well, you should have done the Nickelodeon show. It'd be more money. And I was like, well, I don't think so because I'm getting this amount for this. And then the whole room just like, because it was like, yeah, the whole room went silent. All the kids went, what? You know? And I was, that's when I
and
knew.
Then you just walked
that's when I learned a lesson.
Slowly out the door.
I learned a lesson. You never talk about money.
Because then who wins?
Yeah. Because it'd be like if you were on an airline flight.
Yeah.
And if everybody went, how much did you pay for your ticket?
Yeah.
And then you'd be like, what the fuck? Because it would be like $300 next to you, $200 behind you, yeah. $700 in front of you.
You paid $1,000.
Yeah. You'd be like, what the hell is going on here? This is a game. We're all going to the same place.
Yeah.
It's a racket.
It's crazy.
Know? So the Hollywood the business is like that.
And it never came out. It never saw the light of day.
No. They didn't even finish it. They tried to do 9 pages. They tried to do like 99 pages in 9 days. It was like.
Come on.
No, I swear to God. It was a nightmare. So that's the worst job ever. Second worst job ever was Nutrisystem. Being the busboy at Nutrisystem, like the bag boy, like get the food in the bags, collect the food for them.
What is Nutrisystem?
It was like Jenny Craig.
Okay,
it's out of business now.
Yeah, it was
I got fired because I was in there.
Like Weight Watcher.
Weight Watchers, yes.
Okay.
So the people come, they get a week's worth of food.
Okay.
So I'm putting all this food in the bag, and I'm in their stock room, and I go, damn, these fat people eat a lot. Assistant manager, Eric, I need to see you. We don't say the F word here. You know? And I was like, what are you talking about? I didn't curse, you know? She was like, no, it's fat. And I was like, but they're fat. Because I'm like, that's the prerequisite for being here.
Right.
Like, there's no, that is, if you're going to say any word in this place, it's fat. Because that's what we're trying to fight it. We're trying to fight the fat. That's why they're here. So that's like a microcosm of like,
I love how
the
both
sensitivity
things,
of the world.
But both things come back to fatty.
Yeah. Yeah, right. It's so true.
Fatty and fatties. Yeah, so there must be something
issue.
There.
I have
yeah.
some kind of fatty issue.
You might need to go see some.
Okay, Freud over here. Tell me something else.
That's why we're set up like this.
Yeah, exactly. Now I realize it. Why am I laying down on a couch?
Why is it?
Tell me about your mother.
Why are the lights dimmer?
Yeah.
That would be weird. That would be very weird. Well, listen, I think you're great, and I hope that people watch this show, and I hope that it gets
I hope so, too. I want this show to find a bigger audience. I think it's going to, as each episode comes, I think it's going to branch out to more people. We just need, if you like the show, people listening, tell two friends.
Yeah.
You know, that's all you do. Hey, you should check this show out. Because all we need is the cumulative numbers. We need the downloads and the Showtime Anytime and the On Demand. Those count. So
that's right.
Find the show and enjoy it. And my special, July 7th, The Ugly Truth. And I'm at Eric Griffin with a K. E-R-I-K-G-R-I-F-F-I-N. I'm at Eric Griffin on Instagram, on Twitter, on Snapchat, on Xbox. You can find me, Eric Griffin.
On Xbox?
Yeah. I play video games. I can be a hater. Sorry we all can't be like... have an attractive chin and we're married already.
Get the
with our tight black shirt on. This guy. You know what I mean?
Thank you, Eric Griffin. Thank you for being on The Drop-In.
It's gonna be my new story. I'm gonna be like, this motherfucker.
Yeah, exactly.
This skinny bitch I went to go
I'm
talk
gonna go to the comedy store later tonight. And you're gonna be up there crushing me. Unbelievable.
But thanks for having me.
Thank you, Eric. This has been great.
Thank you.
Well, he just did my job for me, so you know where to find Eric Griffin. If you're looking for me, go to @WillMalnati. If you're looking for @Will, go to @WillRadio. Thank you so much for listening today, and look, I'm being serious about this. Go on iTunes, go on Apple Podcasts, and leave a review if you like this podcast. There's thousands of you listening, and like, no one's writing reviews. I don't understand. It helps out the podcast. It helps people see it. And do me a favor. Tell a friend about the show if you like it. All you have to do is press that little arrow on the right corner and then press share. And it even gives you a few different options. You could email it. You could text it. You could probably even share it with something called Flickr that I don't even know what that is. Have a great day. We'll see you next week. Thanks again to our partner, Spoke, SiriusXM's new app that allows you to listen to podcasts, radio programs, and documentaries curated for you. Go to hearspoke.com/@will now.